today on the Conservative Asian Podcast. If you can't beat them, buy them. That seems to be the approach of Elon Musk as Elon Musk becomes the largest shareholder of Twitter. All this and more on the Conservative Asian Podcast. All right, so a little bit of hilarity going into this week is that Elon Musk, Tesla CEO Elon Musk, has become the largest shareholder, buying out 9.2% of the shares of Twitter. So what that means is that now Elon Musk is the single entity that has a type of majority power within the company, right? Because when you get publicly traded, like many companies often do, they're now at the hands of those who partake in the shareholdings of the company. So for example, if you are a privately owned company, you own everything, right? As long as you're the business owner, you own everything. Now, in order for you to make more money, in order for you to expand, sometimes people, they go public, meaning that they're going to sell off bits of their company to people who want to invest in order so that those people end up gaining when the company gains, right? And they gain that percentage of whatever money that they put in, right? Okay, it's just like any kind of startup business kind of a thing. You know, you invest in the startup business, you get a share of it and so forth and so on, right? Okay. So Elon Musk went on this little journey with Twitter and social media, specifically with Twitter, because, you know, Twitter continues to promote themselves as a, quote, free speech platform, unquote. But we all know that's not true. We all know that for the longest time since, since Obama, Twitter has not been a free speech platform. Okay, more so now with Trump, and even in the presidency of under Donald Trump till now, social media has become just a cudgel. And people actively at work in these companies, directives from on high within these companies to say, to ban, block, shadow ban, erroneously fact check, all of this bullcrap. And so one of the things that that is unfortunate when it comes to, when it comes to businesses and companies and things like that. The left is always saying, if you don't like it, create your own. And as conservatives and people on the right, what we end up doing is we end up listening. And then we try to make our own thing. Like, for example, we try to make our own social media, things like Parler, things like Getter, things like Gab from before, things like Truth Social now, right? We Rumble, right? We try to build our own. And that's not a bad thing. That's not a bad thing at all. But why is it that every single time some kind of bullcrap, quote-unquote, outrage happens, it's always the right who decides to break away and try to create their own thing? Have you ever noticed that this entire time of the people who whine and complain and do all this kind of nonsense, whatever, they don't leave, but instead demand that the entire organization bow to the demands of a small minority group of people? And we see this happen all the time. We see this happen everywhere. We've seen this ramped up ever since 2012. Businesses kowtowing, businesses marketing, businesses selling out to woke ideology. And Twitter is just another one of those things. And So, bowing down to whatever agenda, bowing down to cater to whatever, instead of being neutral, like how it should be, instead of being neutral and letting people decide for themselves. But instead, what happens is business like this, and Disney, and we'll talk about Disney, but businesses like that, no, they make their peon workers in charge. They make their peon workers get to decide what happens to the company as a whole, which is the stupidest thing ever. And so it's never the left that breaks away. It's never the left. It's never them. And I'll give you another good example too before we talk about Disney. When we look at sports, okay? When we look at sports, it's always the men who want to be in women's sports. I have y and then women demand equal pay to men, but they never transition women into men's sports. When have you ever seen a transgender man or transgender woman, man, woman? I don't even know. A woman who thinks that she's a man. I gotta put it like that because I don't even know the terminology. When have you ever seen that in men's sports? When was the last time you saw a woman who thinks that she's a man play in the NBA, play in the NFL, play in MLB, NHL? Have you ever seen it? Have you? No, because it doesn't exist. And yet, we will allow full-grown men who think that they are women, Leah Thomas, compete in women's sports. Why can't you then, let's take the libertarian approach here, why can't you then create your own damn transgender league? What's so hard about that? If there's this mass uprising of transgenderism, quote unquote, why then aren't there enough of you to create your own little transgender league? Men who think they're women, women who think they're men can compete against each other in the transgender games, transgender football, transgender baseball, transgender whatever. Instead, you have to go and infect and disease and corrupt, pollute the sanctity and the equality of men's and women's sports, the integrity that exists between men and women in their individual sports competing amongst their own peers. Why not? Why not have transgender Olympics? What kind of barriers, quote unquote, barriers are you breaking? You're not. If anything, you're making a mockery. A complete and utter mockery that you are demanding and forcing other people to participate in. So I don't understand. If you were to ask the female athletes how they feel about a man competing in their sport and then dominating in their sport, how do you think that makes them feel? You think that makes them feel good? You think that makes them feel worthwhile? You think that makes them feel, oh, because he thinks she's a girl, I got beaten by a girl. Or that is a dude. I'm pretty sure it's the latter. So, all of this to say that Elon Musk may have the better strategy here. Or I should say a different strategy in now he is the largest shareholder of a left-wing organization, which means that he now can make certain decisions that the company needs to follow. Isn't that something? Granted, we're all not rich like Elon Musk. We're all not whatever, whatever, whatever. We can't all do what he does. But it is and has been a gigantic shock to left-wing media and social media outlets, because all of a sudden, here's somebody who now has gained, quite honestly, a majority control of what's happening. The current CEO of Twitter, I don't even know his name because I really don't care because I wasn't paying attention. He owns only 2.5% of his entire company. Can you imagine as a business? I mean, he's not the current CEO of Twitter isn't the creator. He's not Jack Dorsey, right? But the current CEO, I forget who he is, he only owns about like 2 point something percent of the company. So it's interesting. It's interesting. It's interesting, right? Okay, and again, it is a strategy. Not all of us can play that game. Wish we could. So instead of creating, just buy them out. Buy them out. Take control. Restore order. It's a strategy. It's a strategy that only few can pull off, including Elon Musk, right? But again, it comes down to this idea that why, if, why can't the other side do the same thing? So, for example, for Disney is corrupt to its core, and we talked about this before on the show. Disney is corrupt to its core. All of this bullcrap, whatever, and because of that leaked video of the top CEO and the top executive saying that their whole goal is to indoctrinate with LGBTQIAZ, LMNOP, XYZ, ABC, 123. It is, again, chalk one up to the conspiracy theorists. You are correct. So all of this uproar from Disney, why can't those people, those fringe minority people who are quote unquote, I don't know, upset, quote unquote, why can't they leave? Why don't they get fired for not doing their job? And then have them create their own little bullcrap cartoon organization nonsense, whatever, 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 whatever. If they're so certain that there is such a huge support in that community, that means that there would be enough support to get some kind of company like that off the ground and running. Not only running, but successful. Right? Wouldn't that make the most sense? Isn't that a logical thing? Right? If that's what they're saying. So why is it that they don't quit? Part of it is because, I guarantee, part of it is because they don't really believe the things that they're saying. They're not really convicted in the things that they say. They just want to whine and complain until they get what they want. And the sad part about it all is that they do. They absolutely do. Look at Disney now. Disney has promised, outwardly promised, they're going to have LGB, whatever bullcrap nonsense, alphabet soup inside of their future programming. They are 100% in support of indoctrinating, spreading bullcrap, sexualized content. They're in support of all of that. That is pathetic. Pathetic. And it's tough. It's tough. You know, my wife especially, love, love, love Disney. Love the characters. Love the stories. Disney has gone through great lengths to create an immersive environment that exists nowhere else. And I mean that. It exists nowhere else. It is astonishing that instead of being on a neutral, because why would it be would your company suffer more because 200 to 300 employees want to cry and whine and complain that you could just fire for not doing their job, or lose out on hundreds of thousands of families? That's a real question that I'm sure the top execs didn't really answer. Don't have an answer for. And yet, they fully agree, fully bow down to this kind of garbage. It's unbelievable. But this bill does have consequences, and we'll talk about that when we come back. All right, so one of the consequences, I should say, or results, that's coming out of the whole Florida parental rights bill is that teachers en masse have been quitting their job in Florida over this bill, or law, I should say. Now it's a law. It is concerning, and it's only concerning because what could possibly make you think that this or I should say, how could a bill cause so many people to leave? Again, it has nothing to do with what you teach. As long as you're teaching the content, ABCs, how to read, see Jane, see spot run, run spot run, Jane see spot. But all of a sudden, en masse, reportedly, allegedly, en masse, teachers are leaving the profession in Florida. Does that mean we can guess, we can postulate that the teachers who are leaving want more to do with talking about their sexual preferences and their proclivities rather than teaching children or giving children the education that they need and deserve? And the argument here, the argument, and I talked about it before. Oh, you gotta connect with the kids. Oh, good, they learn better. They learn better from people that they trust and blah blah blah. Have a relationship with blah 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 blah, blah. Establish community. No, that is incorrect. That is incorrect thinking. Kids, because you've been coddled, or because they've been coddled, because coddling exists, however you want to phrase it, however you want to describe it, you have indoctrinated them into this idea that I'm only going to do and listen when I feel like it. And if I don't feel good doing it, I'm not going to do it. Which is wrong. Which is incorrect. Which is a terrible way of thinking. And any and every adult understands, not everything you do is enjoyable. Or it could be fun one day and terrible the next day. And that is what we call life. Period. That is what we call growing up. But if you and your child do not experience and do not understand and do not learn these things, they are going to be in for a horrendous life. I think the only things that I share with my students is, number one, I enjoy food. Number two, I play video games. That's it. Oh, number three, I went to public school. So that they understand that I'm not some whatever. No, I've been in the system. I know the system. I am a product of the system. And to let them know that, yeah, I play video games. Who cares? Video games are fun for everybody. In moderation, when you're an adult, of course. Right? So who cares? That's about it. I don't talk about my personal life. I don't talk about my wife. I don't talk about what we do. I don't talk about where we live. I don't talk about anything else that's irrelevant. When I make connections to the real world, I do not use anything to describe my personal whatever. Okay? And it's not that hard. It's not that hard to thinking about how to help kids contextualize certain whatever, right? It's not hard. When you're reading a book, like you're reading about Of Mice and Men by John Steinbeck, you have to understand, number one, the time period, in order to understand that what's happening in a story like Of Mice and Men is contextual, because that, in the period that that book was written, that is what was happening. Adventures of Huck Finn, same thing, right? All of these within the context. And yes, maybe you could have a debate about the past compared to now. Maybe you could point out, or you could say in advance, look, the book has this kind of language in it, but it's important that we know it, we read it, we learn from it. It's important to understand the syntax, the language, the nuance, the time period, the descriptors. All, you could go any number of ways. But not John Steinbeck is racist because he used the N-word in his story. Or the relationship between Lenny was one of love. Like two people loving each other. Idiots. No. Absolutely not. And that's the kind of crap that we're trying to prevent. That's the kind of stuff that shouldn't be there. And so that's why en masse. And unfortunately, if you live in New York, you need to get out. Because New York has just opened the door for all of the teachers who are trying to quote-unquote escape Florida because of the quote-unquote bill, law. New York is opening them with open arms. So if you live in New York and your kids go to public school, maybe even private school, you might want to double check. It ain't going to look too good for you. Right? Okay. If you cannot teach your curriculum without injecting some kind of bullcrap nonsense, you're not a teacher. And you shouldn't be teaching. If you're leaving the profession because you think that a bill says a certain thing and you didn't look it up, you don't know what the bill says, you need to quit teaching because you're a hypocrite. Even after you read the bill and you're still going to quit teaching, you should never be a teacher ever again. Ever again. It is imperative. It is imperative that, and this is coming from a teacher, guys. Don't forget, I am, by me admitting this, I'm saying yes. Come and look at the things that I do in my classroom. Come and look at the things that, like, why? There's nothing to hide. There's nothing to hide in my classroom. And in fact, within the creativity part, if they want to talk about something, if they want to share about something in their creative whatever, and again, free space of your own creation, no suggestion from me, and you want to write about something, you want to talk about something, you want to have that written up on your web page, you want to spread a message, and we go through all of the coding and things like that, and your main topic is about certain whatever, go for it. Because I didn't tell you to do it. I gave you the tools to create the space, and what you put in that space is your decision, at the very least. Right? I may disagree. I don't think that that's right. I tell the kids all the time, this is America. There are rules here in America. Is that wrong? No, because it's true. And at the same time, too, they have the freedom to express themselves the way that they want without fear of judgment. I may not like it. I may not disagree with it, but as long as they have fulfilled the criteria that is written in the rubric in order for them to be assessed and graded, the content, I could care less. Because that's not my focus. My focus is skill building. My focus is the project. My focus is all of those kinds of things. Period. Done. Whatever. How hard is that? How hard is that for teachers to understand? So, let it be known. Let it be known, if you see a teacher this coming school year in August, because we're almost done, it's April, you've only got 2 more months of school left. If you see a new teacher in August and they're from Florida, I would be concerned. Parents, if you go to your kid's open house or whatever, and the teacher says that they came from Florida, I would start asking some hard questions. Why did you leave? What are you planning to teach my kids? How? Give me an example. Start asking the difficult questions. It's okay. It's okay. And I promise, if you were to come and ask me, I'm going to tell you straight up, you know what? That's a good question. I don't really know. Or mine's just going to be, look, this is what we're going to do. I teach your kids the skills, they fill in the content. They're judged on the skills and completing the content or completing the rubric. What they put as their content to create it, I don't care. Period. I may disagree, as long as it's nothing violent or sexual in nature. I don't care. Not particularly. They could talk about their favorite food. They could talk about their video games. They could talk about whatever. Movie, whatever. I don't. So just do the work. Show me the structure. Show me that you understand how to do it. Move on to the next thing. It is one, okay, and I said this before, one of the positive things out of all of this, okay, and what's a little bit difficult to see, one of the great positives of about all that's going on is that everything is being shed. Everything is coming out to the forefront. Every single thing. The corruption of the unions that we all knew existed but was anecdotal, I guess. I don't know. Now it's come to the forefront. The corruption of the CDC, corruption of the WHO, corruption of Anthony Fauci, corruption of the Bidens, corruption of Hillary Clinton. All of these things are now coming to the surface. And in the words of the great Michael Scott, it's like the shiatsu massage. Painful. It hurts. Makes you want to cry, vomit. But afterwards, you feel great. Is this our shiatsu massage, America? Are we going through such great pains in order to expose and expel the garbage that exists? And Trump got us started. Trump got us in the door. Trump got us lying on that massage table. And ironically, it is the left exposing the left. We continue to grin and bear it. Is it going to end soon? God, I hope so. I hope so. Less than a year ago, I was paying about $45 for gas. 3 years ago, I was paying $35, give or take. Maybe even less. I just recently filled up. It is now at $61. And that wasn't even with the little red warning light saying that my gas was low. It's going to continue, folks. It needs to be corrected. And anybody who is not actively trying to correct it, legislators, sorry, right? Your council members, if they are not actively working to fix this problem, get rid of them. Get rid of them. The time of reckoning is coming, folks. It's coming. Let's hold on. Let's hold on to the end. You're not alone. People are fighting. This has been the Conservative Asian Podcast, and we'll catch you guys next time.